Well, if you'd like to join me in Scripture today, you can turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 9 and 10. That's where we'll be at today for today's sermon. So in preparing for this series, it's always try to be intentional about kind of what we're talking about and why we're talking about it. And this series was emphasis on leadership. And for me personally, I felt like Joshua was a very good fitting topic for the subject matter for this. And so that's what we've been in now, and this is our sixth week. Next week we'll wrap up that leadership series and then move on to Easter as we get prepared for that. So I want to first tell you a little story. When I was young and just got my license, I felt like I really needed a car. You know, as every man does, we need cars. So I bought this car, and I had $400 to buy this car. Yeah, that was a lot of money back then. And I went and bought this Grand Prix. I got to the yard because I'd seen it. I was just driving by, you know, the old style car buying, not online or Facebook Marketplace or whatever it is, or eBay or whatever. I went to the house and I drove by and I'm like, there's the car, I want it. I drove it about less than a mile and I told my dad, I want this car. And he's like, son, you think you should probably pop the hood or something like that? Ask the person selling a little more detail about it. And I said, no, I feel like it drives fine. I drove down the street, back, I'm good. It parks. So I got home, and not but a week, maybe 2 weeks later, I was driving down the road, got on the highway, and it started wobbling a little bit, maybe a little nervous. And then about a week later, I was sitting out front of the car, and it was winter, so I was heating up the car, you know, like good Indianians do without garages, and it overheated. Cracked the engine. Black and miserable. So I chose to not seek advice, not seek understanding, and just took it under my own accord that I am the smartest man in the world and bought a lemon. All that moral of the story is not tell you how foolish I am at times in my youth, but bring up the idea of what it means to not seek advice, not seek understanding before we make decisions upon, doing major things. See, that thing that happened was not cheap. Because now I didn't have a car, and I had to work at Hot Now to really save up more money. And most of you young people have no clue what Hot Now is. Well, Hot Now is a fast food joint, way better than any McDonald's, except for Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is way better. But I really liked it. So it was very costly to me because I didn't seek advice first. I just did. And I went and did on my own accord because I wanted it. And I wanted it now. That didn't come cheap at all. That lesson was a hard lesson to learn. But I learned it because now I ask questions. Sometimes too many questions, sometimes not enough. But I seek advice first. I seek advice from lots of people. I may even seek advice from the Lord, but that would spoil my sermon, so I'm not going to go there. We'll start with seeking advice first. Why do we even need to talk about this subject matter of what it means to seek advice? Or why does it matter in a leadership series? Why are we talking about seeking advice? Why are we talking about a beat-up car, a Grand Prix, which is worthless in the grand scheme of things? But it was important to me. Have you ever made a decision and not have all the facts? Surely none of you have ever made young, because definitely when you're younger, you made some bad decisions, maybe. What about seeking advice from God? Have you ever made a decision prior to seeking him in prayer, just go on a whim? Yep, I'm good. I'm going to go forward and do this. Well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about this week. We're going to be in that subject matter of what it means to seek him and seek him first. Because if you don't seek him first, sometimes there's consequences. Sometimes there's big consequences. And we're going to talk about that. So this week we're going to cover two chapters. I'm not going to cover every verse by verse. We're going to kind of go through it and address it. And the first chapter is chapter 9, and then we'll go into 10. But before we look back at it, let's kind of review where we're at today. So the first week we talk about a leader listens and obeys the call. You know, you got to, if you hear the call from God to go somewhere and do something, you should listen, would be my best advice to give you. The second one, a leader leads by faith, not by sight. Remember crossing over the Jordan. He had put his feet in the water first. And the third week was, remember God's faithfulness. Remember setting up the memorial rocks. Remember when, we did some testimony time. Remember when God was faithful to you. That helps you get through the difficult times, the less exciting times sometimes. Understand the battle is won in the mind first. That was important, right? Spiritual warfare. That sometimes it's difficult to understand if we don't understand that sometimes we have to get through our own mind first. Because our mind muddies the water sometimes. Sometimes our decisions muddy the water. And last week, I'm sure all of you really enjoyed that sermon when we talked about sin and we talked about holding people accountable. Not a fun subject matter from a pastor. It's not fun to preach about sin, but it's important to preach about sin. And probably the most important thing for me in my ministry is the understanding that we have to, as a leader, hold people accountable to what it means in life. If you missed that sermon, I recommend going back and listening to it. It's an important piece to leadership. Far too many people in leadership, not only in the church, but in our families, fail to hold people accountable. And that disrupts the church, disrupts our families, disrupts what we do in life. And we have to be more brave, be more bold, be more willing to stand up for what's right. So this week, we're going to go into chapter 9. And the idea here is that a leader never forgets to seek the Lord. Never forgets to seek the Lord first, no matter how a situation may appear. Sometimes we think, I've been here before. I've seen this situation. I know what to do. Why would I seek the Lord? Not you, of course. Maybe me. Sometimes we do that. And we look at chapter 9, and I'm going to kind of go through a few verses here. In chapter 9, we start in verse 1. When all the kings heard about Jericho and Ai, those who were west of the Jordan in the hill country, in the Judean foothills, and all along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, they formed a unified alliance to fight against Joshua and Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they acted deceptively. They acted deceptively. So instead of joining the union and fight against Joshua, they felt that it was better to try to go to deceive Israel, go deceive Joshua into making a treaty with him. So now let's look at a few things about what they did to try to deceive, because they wanted to make a treaty with Joshua, a treaty that protects their life, protects who they are, so they don't become like Ai or Jericho or any other city that they came upon. But to be able to live and not be slaughtered by the Israelites coming into the area. So here's what they did. They come up with a plan. They gathered provisions and took worn out sacks on their donkeys and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They wore old patched sandals on their feet and threadbare clothing on their bodies. Their entire provision of bread was dry and crumbly. They went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to them and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land. Please make a treaty with us." Were they from a distant land? No. They were from within the land, right? Was anybody, do you remember the story? Was anybody supposed to survive Israel's takeover of Canaan? Wipe out all inhabitants was God's command. So Gibeon, the tribe, forms this great idea. Let's deceive Joshua to making a treaty with us. Because they knew that God would hold them accountable if they made a treaty. So here's what Joshua and the men of Israel did. They were deceived by the appearance. Because this tribe came to them and said, "We're from a distant land, way away from here, out of your reach. But we want to make a treaty with you because we've heard the mighty things that your God has done. The mighty things your God have done." And the Israelites were deceived. They believed them. How did they get deceived? They worshiped the one true God. They worshiped the one on high. They did not seek him first. They made a decision based off appearances. Remember that 78 Grand Prix I was telling you about? Yeah, appearances. Deception. They were deceived by the Gibeonites. So let's think about this. Sometimes we get deceived by our view. Sometimes we forget to seek him first. Sometimes we fail to do that. So sometimes we depend on our own understanding rather than his understanding, rather than his knowledge, rather than his great knowledge of everything. We depend on our own understanding. Let's look at this. When God directs, what happens? The walls of Jericho come tumbling down when God directs. What else happened when God directs? Everything in life, because we follow his will. Because if he's directing us, he's guiding us, he's encouraging us, and we're seeking after him for understanding, then we cannot fail. But what happens when we don't seek God? What happens when the Israelites' spies go in the eye and come back and report, "Oh, don't wear out all the men, only take a few thousand." They were defeated. Did they seek God in prayer first? No. So were they defeated? Yes. Because they chose not to seek the Lord first. They chose to make their own understanding, their own viewpoint, and made a decision that was poor, and they were defeated at eye. And then eventually they sought God and prayer and then went back and destroyed Ai. Don't seek God. And what happens with the Gibeonites? Deceived. Purchased the 1978 Grand Prix that you don't want. That you can't sell back to a junkyard except for $100. Still hurts right here. Actually, I think back then it was 50 bucks. I got 50 bucks at the... Anyway, I digress. See, when you just make decisions without the Lord, you get fooled. You got to seek him first in everything that you do. See, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. Just like we did at the Jericho. Were the Israelites listening? No, they didn't even ask God. They said, "Oh, your wineskins look wore out. That makes sense. Your bread looks old. That makes sense. So you must have traveled a very long way. Oh, your clothes are tattered. Your clothes are worn out. Your sandals are all beat up." So looking at the situation, it looked like they knew what they were talking about. "We know what it means to travel long distances, and your clothes are going to be worn out. So yeah, surely they're not deceiving us. Surely you come from a long ways away." But they didn't, did they? See, if you look into this next part of the section. You go to verse 14. "Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's counsel. You should underline that in the Bible. Make sure you really understand it. Did not seek the Lord's counsel. So then Joshua established a treaty and let them live. See, the Israelites are still learning what it means for this process. The Israelites are still learning what it means to seek him first. And sometimes you have to learn some hard lessons. See, they judged what they could see rather than seeking the one who sees the unseen and knows the future. You see the problem in that? If we only take things at face value, we miss it. So as leaders in our families, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, it is important that we seek him first. Because that's what a leader does. He seeks him first, or she seeks him first. See, leaders seek the Lord. Leaders seek the Lord. I'm telling you, when you seek the Lord first, he delights in that conversation. He delights in you that your willingness to seek him first. He already knows the outcome. But to have his children be obedient to what he's asked them to do, the Lord delights in that. So when a leader seeks him first, the Lord delights. See, when you're led by someone, you want to make sure that they know who they're led by. If you're following someone, you should know who they're led by. Because don't yourself be deceived if you're following someone who isn't being led by the one true God. He is the leader. He is the one that we seek after. He is the one who will lead us into the promised land. See, a leader truly follows the one who is worthy to lead us and stays in close proximity to the leader in prayer, in the word, and always seeks him first in everything that is done. So we move forward just a little bit more here in Scripture. We look at the Gibeons' deception discovered. 3 days, in verse 16, 3 days after making the treaty with them, they heard the Gibeonites are their neighbors. Can you imagine that day? After making a treaty with a people who inhabit the area of Canaan, after realizing and remembering, the Lord said, no one. You will wipe out all existence there. Those are my paraphrasing. You'll wipe out all. So now it's triggering in their brain. Or freezing like most of us do. What did I just do? I just made a treaty with a people group that literally is our neighbors. That's not what God's plan was. They did not seek the Lord first, and that is the problem. See, we have to walk by faith, not sight alone. And all they did is seek and sought the sight of what they were seeing, and they missed the bigger picture. They missed those moments. Those moments of what God could do in their life if they just sought him first. So then what happens? So then the Gibeonites, the Israelites already swore an oath to them. You will be safe. They swore an oath before God without seeking his advice first. And so when you look at that, they made a promise that they couldn't back out of. So instead, if you look at what happens to them, it would be in verse My apologies. 21. Let them live. So the Gibeonites became woodcutters and water carriers for the whole community as the leaders had promised. So they're not going to wipe them out. They're going to make them enslaved to the community. They will become woodcutters and water bearers for the whole community. So the Gibeonites have consequences for their deception. Israelite is honoring their oath that they made to them, but they will be enslaved, and they will now be woodcutters and water bearers. Oswald Chambers says this: faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. See, God said many times, seek him first. They knew better than not seek him first, but they chose not to. And they chose to focus on what they could see rather than the one that sent them. And that's the problem. We must be obedient to the one that calls us and obedient to the faith that it requires to follow him without sight. He calls us. He wants us. He desires our relationship. So let's dive into chapter 10. See, the Israelites made a mistake. They made an oath with a community of people that lived with them in Canaan. And were trapped by the oath to make the decision to follow through with it. And now it comes. The decision time that Israelite has to follow their oath they made with the Gibeonites. And here's the thing. A lot of times we make mistakes against God. A lot of times we fail to seek him and advice. Fail to seek his understanding. And sometimes we're like, well, I didn't seek him the first time. So now what I'm going to do is actually just go clean up myself. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix it myself and not bother God with it. So Israelites could have just fixed it. They could have just went over and wiped out the Gibeonites. They had the force to do it. But they decided to seek him for advice. Finally. Have you ever done that? Not saw him first and realized you made a mistake? And then you went out and tried to fix it yourself, right? Well, if you did, you probably failed again and again and again and again. But if we realize our failures and then we seek him, even though we made a mistake, God didn't turn us away. He didn't push us off to the side. He didn't say, go somewhere else. If we seek him, he helps us understand. So if you look at verses 10, chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, we're looking at the strength of man. See, these different kings around the area formed an alliance. They heard the Gibeonites formed a treaty with Joshua. So they band together, all their fighting men. They're like, well, we're going to go cast down Gibeon. We're going to cast down that tribe now. So they gather together and go to Gibeon, and we're going to fight against them. But now the call comes in. You remember that treaty they made? The call comes in and Gibeon sends word to Joshua. Don't forget your servants. These five kings and their fighting men have gone to take them out. So Joshua's left with a conundrum. Let him be wiped out or go save them. Made a treaty that they would be safe and that they would live. So what does Joshua do? He honors his treaty. But here's what happens. In verse 6 through 8, you hear parts of this. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, "Don't abandon your servants. Come quickly to save us. Help us, for all the Amorite kings living in the hill country have joined forces against us." In verse 8, let's skip down to verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you." God is still faithful, even in the midst of our mistakes. Let me make sure you heard that. God is still faithful, even in the midst of our mistakes. Don't we serve a good God? See, the fear of man overcomes us sometimes. The walls are crashing around us. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever situation is going on in your life, the walls feel like they're penetrating in and feel like your only way out is to claw your way out on your own. But the reality is you can call upon him at any time. So Joshua finally seeks the Lord, and what does the Lord say? "Do not fear, for I've given them over to you." And if you look more into the story, you have to look at the strength of God in this. In verse 9, so Joshua caught them by surprise after marching all night from Gilgal. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. He defeated them in a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them through the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel, the Lord threw large hailstones on them from the sky along the descent at Beth Horon, all the way to Azekah, and they died. More of them died from the hail than the Israelites killed by the sword. That's what you have to understand there, is that Joshua could have done this on his own. He had good fighting men. He was a general. Remember, he's a great warrior. Who killed more? Joshua's swords or God? The one they forgot to seek him on and seek his advice. Even though they failed to seek him in advice, he still showed up. He still was the champion of the day. But that's not the only thing that happens. Not just the strength of God. Let's also look at the faith of man in this. You look at Joshua, verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on its enemies. Can you imagine the power of God? His faithful servant Joshua cried out, "Sun, stand still." And what does God do? He acts. What did Joshua do? Request. Joshua requested and God acted because of Joshua's faith and who he was seeking, which is important. That he sought God first, cried out to him, "Sun, stand still." And God made it so that all the enemies were slaughtered that day. The faith of a man. 15, then Joshua and all of Israel with him returned to the camp of Gilgal. All because of a deceptive decision they made to follow and make a pact with the Gibeonites, which was wrong. But did God leave them because they made a mistake? No, two major stories there. Hailstones from heaven killed more than the sword. The sun stood still. God did not leave them because they made a mistake. See, as a leader, we have to understand that. We have to process that. We have to process that information. That you are going to make mistakes. Sometimes you're going to fail as a father in your family. God will not leave you. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake at your workplace. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake in a church. God will not leave you. If we bring this to a conclusion today, I have a couple things for you. Leaders are led as they stay close in proximity to their leader. You got to know who you're leading. And you got to know who you're led by. That is the key to what we do. We have to be led by our leader in order to lead anyone. Second, this little acronym I have for you. Leaders are late. Not late showing up for worship practice. We know who that is. I didn't say no names, but the voice cometh without. Late. Let me tell you what this means. Learn from mistakes. Ask for forgiveness. Trust in God's control. And expect Him to give direction. Late. Learn from mistakes. Ask for forgiveness. Trust in God's control. And expect Him to give direction. Because He is good. When you rely on the strength of man, you open the door to fear. When you rely on the strength of man, you open the door for fear. But when you rely on the strength of God, you open the door to faith. And be ready for Him to lead you through it. Let me close this in this sermon in prayer, and I have a few closing remarks, and we'll be done for the day. Father, thank you for all you're doing for us. By the way, you're encouraging us, guiding us, directing us. Father, may you get all the glory and honor from the way that we live our lives. Father, may we always be in the realization that we need to seek you first. But Father, may in those moments when we fail to do so and we make mistakes and go on our own accord, may we always remember that you are a good God, a faithful God. And that we can ask for forgiveness and you will forgive. Father, lead us to lead you. I mean, to seek you in everything we do. So when we seek you, we learn to lead because of you and your great leadership ability. May we lead our families. May we lead our church. May we lead our jobs. May we lead life based on what you have taught us. And we always seek you first. Kick fear to the side. And always fall in faith. Because you are worthy. Say this in Jesus' name.